Stop looking at my belly button.
Welcome to episode 50. That's right. We made it to the 5-0. Welcome to episode 50 of the Thrash Report. This is for May 25th, 2021. I'm Chris. And joining me, my co-host, my partner in crime, Jim Osborne. Jim, what's going on, man?
Yo, got a new hand.
Give me a hand.
I'm happy to be here again and joined by some of our friends and listeners and a couple of returning guests. So let's get it started and just see who we got here. So David, why don't you go first? Give yourself a quick intro.
I'm Dave. I am very far away from you guys up in Canada and super pumped to be here talking about some metal and doing some metal nerd stuff.
He's in tune. Hey, good day. Welcome to the Great White North. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
Nice. You're in the right place. Mr. Krenz, who are you?
Who are you? The new number two. Who is number one? You are number six. I am not a number. I am a free man.
Hey, I'm John, longtime listener, first time caller. I am just south of the Twin Cities metro area, just south of Minneapolis.
Awesome.
Nice. Mr. Vikings fan.
I'm sure that's me.
Yeah, Joey Belladonna in here.
I'm Tommy. I'm calling from West Baghdad, Virginia. Representing the propane army tonight.
Awesome.
Nice. Thank you. Thomas.
What's happening, everybody? I'm Thomas Castiglione from Southern California, and I am a huge fan of the Thrash Report, and I'm also the manager of a little band called Tornadic. So maybe some of the listeners have heard of them, and there might even be a couple of guys sitting right here in the meeting as we speak.
I think there may be.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Andres. I'm also from Southern California, and I happen to be the lead guitarist for the small band called Tornadic. So
small, awesome. Getting bigger.
Yeah.
All right. And last but not least.
Hey, I'm Dylan. I am also from Southern California. I am in the band Tornadic and I sing and play guitar.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining. 50 minutes doesn't feel like it's been almost a year since we've been doing this.
Yeah. Right. We want to, again, thanks everyone for joining. This is going to be a blast.
Happy 50th. Holy crow. You're older than me.
Yeah, congrats, boys.
Yeah, thank you. So we do have a couple of guys that need to head out in a little bit, but why don't we start with Thomas? What do you got for us? You got any topics or questions?
So we just took, we bought a big van for the, you know, for the band to kind of cruise around in, and we took it on our first road trip. In fact, it was Dylan and Andreas Sr., and we drove from Southern California all the way up to the Bay Area to visit some friends, and the van handled it like a champ.
Nice.
Awesome. So I guess that means we can maybe, you know, make it your way, you know, without hopefully breaking down and do some shows.
Here we go.
Right.
Yep.
But on our trip up, we went and we met up with a friend. We got some awesome gear. Our friend Eric donated some 4x12 cabs to the band, and this gigantic, ridiculously obnoxious 24 channel mixing board. And he also, he does a lot of work with a variety of musicians, including one of our favorites, to our hearts, is Death Angel. You see Dylan's mask. And yeah. He gave us one of these signed mixing boards from a NAMM show, right? That's, he's awesome. Like, here's some fun keepsakes. I'm like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
Very cool. So,
we're stoked about it. We got to go to a location where they shot Death Angel video, and mess around in this bar. And they invited the boys of Tornadic back. They said, yeah, if you're up in the area, we're booked a year out, but we will make room in our schedule for you. And we're like, all right,
sweet.
I like that. We also stopped by Phil Demmel's bar. He didn't call me first to tell me he was having a baby. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't have went by, but you know.
Well, did he call you for the conception?
Well, you know, no, it's a, you know, COVID baby for sure, right? Time wise, let me do the math. But no, we stopped by and they couldn't have been nicer there. So if you're ever up in Dublin, go past his bar. It is amazing. But we reached out and we left him a little note and he actually got back to us and he's like, wow. Hey, I'm sorry I missed you, but thanks for stopping by. And so, you know, we let him know, congratulations. We're super happy for him and his wife welcoming their new son to the family.
That's awesome. So cool.
Yeah.
What'd they name the kid? Something metal?
I feel like I saw it. I think it was Magnus or it started with an M, but I feel like it was some bitchin' name, like, you know.
Cool, man.
Only the devil son can pull off, right?
Yep. Awesome.
Magnus, I want the Matrix. Never.
Very cool. I saw your drone footage too of that Outlook or whatever it was. Where was
that? Oh my God. Yeah, that was badass. So we pulled off the freeway. There's like just that one viewpoint, that scenic outlook. And so I've been trying to drag the drone everywhere we go. And so everybody got a chance to fly and we flew it like way off in the field. There was some cattle out there grazing. So we took it all around, but we did some of the, you know, pre-programmed shots and it was awesome, man. Andreas Senior's like, oh, I think I need to get one of those things. It's insanely easy to fly and the footage is amazing. So I don't know, maybe the next Tornadic video too.
There you go. That's awesome.
Right. Or Mega Cruise too, you know, have a chase the boat.
Dude, that'd be awesome. It's so cool.
Right? Yeah. Super awesome. Yeah. I mean, you know, come on. We got our toys. What are we gonna do?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's it, buddy. That's what's happening.
That's awesome. All right.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Feel free to stick around or come back if you got time.
Yeah, I'll bail out in just a minute, but you guys chit chat, please.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. So we go to Dylan. How about you next?
Yeah, what's up? How are you?
Doing well. Or just curious if you got any topics, stories, questions, or what do you want to chat about?
Yeah. I mean, of course, my dad brought it up. We went to San Francisco or the San Francisco area, and that was a blast. We had a great time. And I think Andreas had a good time as well, you know. But yeah, it was a really awesome experience because for the short amount of time that we were there, we went up on a Saturday and we came back that same Sunday and it took most of the day driving. So we were only there for a few hours, but it was great. We had a great time. We got to go around. We ate dinner with our friend and then he took us around to the local bars that play music. And this one bar we were at, they invited Andreas and I to play on stage. So we jammed out some Tornadic. We played The Capturing. And we also played, what was the other one? Tornado of Souls, was it? Yeah, it was Tornado of Souls, and that was a lot of fun. And then when we got back to the hotel, there was a guy with a really nice Audi, and we were talking to him for a while, and he was talking about all the cars he had, and he took us around for a spin in his Audi, and it was crazy. it was really fun. We had a great time. And one of the main reasons for that is because we wanted to test out the new Tornadic van. You know, and we're super excited. It worked fantastically, you know.
The Tornadic van, didn't you have like some, what's it? It's like the battle van or something?
The battle bus. Battle bus. There you go. So
dude, I can see it now. We got to get that wrapped. You got to get a big logo on that thing.
Yeah. Exactly. See, the only problem with that, a few people have asked me if I'm going to put Tornadic on it. But then people are going to know that it's Tornadics, you know, and when people know it's Tornadics, some people are jerks and they decide that it's a fun idea to take what's ours. You know, there are too many stories of bands that have had that happen to them. And I agree, Tornadic would be awesome wrapped around it, but I don't know. But we tested out the Tornadic van because you know, soon shows are going to start opening up again, and we're trying to expand our way from Orange County to the entire state of California, and starting to make our way around, you know, maybe
like
even
all the way to the Midwest where we
yeah,
are.
Yeah. All the way to the Midwest, maybe even the East Coast, you know, so, you know, of course it's actually my first car, believe it or not. And, yeah, so we wanted to test it out, see how roadworthy it was. And it's got incredible seats for the van. And it's, my back didn't hurt afterwards. It was fantastic. And I'm super excited to see what's going to come from it. So,
I believe you want to say it's your first car, 'cause you're what, 15?
Yeah. 15. hopefully getting my permit in a month.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Any plans on when you might be starting a tour?
I can't say too much right now. We have a few things planned in the works right now. A few big things. But we were talking to a few people. We are trying, but for like a general area, we're trying to get a tour, obviously as soon as possible, but, hopefully at the latest summer of 2022, at the latest.
Cool.
So yeah.
Awesome.
Right. Lots of time to build up. All right. How about, let's go back up to Canada, see what David's got.
I just want to say big congrats to the Tornadic boys on their van, because that's a huge accomplishment for you guys. So congratulations to you. First tour bus is a big deal. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, hey, no problem. And I'll throw down the gauntlet. I'll challenge you guys. You know, eventually things are going to open up. Make it up to Canada. I'll come to the gig for sure.
There you go.
I could probably bring five other people with me. So
absolutely. Absolutely. We would love to go up to Canada.
The whole province?
Yeah, do it. Come anywhere up here. So we're dying for shows to come back up here. We're a little bit further away than you guys are. So, but if you guys ever make it up here, drop me a line, man. I'd love to check you guys out. And other than that, I don't know. There's a couple of metal parents, I think, floating around in here. So I'm curious on everybody else's take to metal parenting.
Yeah. it's interesting. I remember, I probably shared this with in previous episode, but you know, I remember Iron Maiden, the Seventh Son of a Seventh Son tour. I was in seventh grade, and you know, it was my only ambition in life at that time was go to that show. I was too young, and my dad wouldn't let me go. And so it's an interesting take now that you're a parent and you have children, and do you not, or do you let them go? So when my daughters were, they were 16. When they were 16, they went to Warped Tour. They went to Warped Tour, and it was a big decision, right? It was the first time to let them go to a show unsupervised. They had gone to a couple shows with me, but going to their own show, unsupervised for an entire day. It was a little, but then, you know, you think about it. That's what I wanted to do when I was that age. So it is you have conflict.
For sure. I've only gotten my oldest to one show, and then my next four, I've got five kids. So I got a lot of metal parenting to do. My one daughter, my oldest, has been to one show, wasn't even a metal show yet. And then COVID hit and shut everything down. So like, I'm chomping at the bit to get my kids to some shows here.
Sure.
Hey, yeah. Let me jump in there real quick, and then I'm going to get out of here. First of all, I see some of the comments on YouTube, and William, you're right, man. That's a hell of a beard you've got there. You know, takes one to know one, so nice job. As far as metal stuff, man.
Thank you.
Dylan and I have gone to so many concerts. It's ridiculous, but one of the most memorable ones was with Andreas and Andreas. We went and saw the last Slayer show ever, right? The one in L.A.
We'll be right back.
I couldn't get pit passes, but I got the next best thing. The chairs on the floor right behind the pit at the rail. Now they had so much security watching the rail like hawks because they didn't want anybody to jump over. But Dylan and Andreas, their goal was to get in the pit, right? And so they're watching, they're enjoying the show. They're actually on the rail, like, all right, cool, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this. And the guards are like trying to stop people from jumping over. Finally, like, I think there were maybe like, we didn't know this, but maybe three songs left. They saw their opportunity and just jumped over the rail. Actually, I think some woman came running up and threw Dylan over, right? And like knocked him over the fence. He started to run. Security tries to grab him. He kind of like jukes and dodges and gets into the pit. And Andreas was like, let's go. He's over the rail. He avoids security, gets in the pit, and they just, you know, they did a little Slayer pit for the last show Slayer that we know of ever, yeah, right? And, you know, so Andreas and I, Senior and I, are like proud dads, like, hell yeah, there goes our kids.
Yep.
towards the end, all the chairs kind of came tumbling down and the pit formed around us. And, I mean, you know, that's it, man. That's the way it's done. It was awesome.
Very cool. That is you know, you made history, man.
That's, you know, it's the last show, right? What are you going to do? Just sit there? No way. No way. Hey, with that, I'm out. Good night, y'all. Right. Happy 50th. Right.
Thank you, man.
You guys rock.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, dude.
I'll see ya. Time to go be a teacher. See ya.
All right. Yep. Children are our future unless we stop them now. Homer Simpson. Yeah, as far as being a metal parent, I got a couple that I took my daughter to her first metal show 2 years ago. She was 10. That was at the warehouse here in La Crosse that we mentioned a lot. And the band was from St. Louis, Hollow Point. Yeah, blanked out on that. So. And she enjoyed it. We had a great time. And like I've said before, it's an all-ages club, no alcohol. And that reminds me of a friend of mine who has a daughter who's about the same age, maybe a little older, so probably 12-13, and she's a metalhead and she wants to go to these shows at the warehouse. And he thought it was fine, but his wife said she was all worried, you know, it's heavy metal and it's all these kids together and, you know, it's dangerous. And I was chatting with him and saying that's all bullshit. They're totally safe. I mean, super safe at the warehouse, but I mean, even places like what Thomas was just talking about, you know, you have a Slayer show. I mean, it looks violent, but it's like a controlled happy violence, if that's the thing. But
hey, that's how I bill it. Why not?
My son might slowly be getting into metal. He likes some of the slower metal stuff. So I'm just happy.
Yeah, my music. So my oldest boy, you know, we're starting to get him to dabble into some of that stuff. My oldest daughter, she likes her Black Veil Brides and Bring Me the Horizon and all that stuff. So it's you know, we're working towards it. My 5-year-old, the closest she's been to a show is she managed to attend Slipknot from the womb. I think we went to a Slipknot show. My wife must have been 6 months pregnant, probably. And that was some craziness. You know, no throwing bodies in the pits or anything, but yeah, great vibe. You know, baby's moving in her stomach like crazy, and then she came out, and we named her Lemmy. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I saw that. You got two of your kids are Lemmy and Lane after Lane Staley.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've got a Lemmy and we've got a Lane. The wife's a big Alice in Chains fan, and so am I. So just. And you should have known better. Made sense. And of course, we had Lemmy. She was born 5 days after the original Lemmy passed. So it was, it all kind of came together really crazy. Yeah. I think that's all I've got for the moment. Let's let one of these other guys take a run at something.
Tommy, you want to help me say it again, where you're from?
Oh, I'm from West Baghdad, Virginia.
That's right.
You got to get it right, because we don't want to be confused when people think we're close to Richmond.
And I'm going to teach you a little bit of West Virginia slang. A winder is a window. See, it's not Southern. It's go stand by the winder. Purdy is pretty. You look pretty. I have to say, you look downright pretty. A mess is, it's another unit of measurement, isn't it? It's like, that's a mess of taters you got there.
You know, that's what we get all the time. If you say you're from West Virginia, they'll say, how close to Richmond are you? Oh, we're a whole different state away. Congratulations on the 50th episode.
Thank you, man.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I've logged a few miles listening to the show, so, you know, it's good to throw it on when I'm driving between job locations. So appreciate the time you guys put into it. So I come with a little bit of a story.
Yeah.
Jim has kind of heard this one before, but I recall Chris talking about Five Finger Death Punch. On one of the broadcasts. So here's my Five Finger Death Punch story.
Okay.
But of course it's got a propane twist to it. So about 5 years ago, I'm doing the propane 25 year anniversary Twitter run, you know, tweeting about concerts and shows, upcoming shows. So I noticed that I got a like from, I seen the blue check mark and I'm like, who's this cat? And I pulled it up. It was Chris Kale. So I sent him a message and I said, propane fan. He sent me back since Foul Taste of Freedom days. I said, cool, man. I said, I'm going to check him out here in a few weeks in Pittsburgh. And he sent me back, well, pick me up a shirt. I was like, all right. And I didn't think nothing about it at the time. So go to the show. I'm talking to Marshall, who at the time was the rhythm guitarist for Propane. He was working the merch table. And I told him, I said, Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch is a big fan. And he was like, oh, that's cool. So I grabbed my phone and I messaged him real quick on Twitter. I said, what color shirt was you looking for? And he messaged me right back. He said, black, extra large. So I picked him up a shirt. Tweeted him the next day, told him, you know, great show, got your shirt. He sent me his address. I mailed the guy a shirt. He mailed me back. So he mailed this back.
That's right. That's awesome.
So that's my claim to fame with Five Finger Death Punch. And to be honest, I don't even listen to him, but I talk to the guy all the time. We chat back and forth on Twitter, mostly about college basketball. He's a big University of Kentucky guy because he's from Kentucky. So we'll talk about UK and WVU.
Sure. That's cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty cool.
How far is Kentucky from Richmond?
I don't know. I don't live in Richmond.
I think I've seen Chris Kale on his socials. You know, he avid gym rat. He'd be at the gym rat. I mean, he'd be working out and stuff. And I swear he's wearing that propane shirt one of the times. I was like,
he very well could have been.
Yeah, I was like, no way.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Tell us about the propane army, how that thing came to be.
I'm telling you, I mean, it probably started back in MySpace day.
MySpace was the largest social networking site in the world from 2005 to 2009. MySpace was acquired by News Corporation in July 2005 for $580 million.
Honestly, a couple of the other guys that are kind of involved with the Twitter page, two of them from Alabama, and the others from Boston. Kyle's from Boston and he's seen Propane live a whole lot more than any of the rest of us. I mean, unfortunately I've only got to see him twice live. And I think Randy and Christian in Alabama has only seen him once. I think they seen him in Atlanta. But we had all been fans for a while and just got to be social media friends we've never met. And Christian started the Propane Army Twitter page, and we just started to kind of run with it, just make posts and whatnot. And then next thing you know, the band has the Twitter page listed as their official Twitter page on their website. You know, we've awesome. Messaged back and forth. Did you notice that we are the official Twitter of the band? And, you know, that's just kind of how it come to be. That's awesome. Of course, you know, I'm the guy behind the Propane Song of the Day, which has been running since November 15th of 2018. I went back to look it up just to make sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Cup of coffee in the morning and Propane Song of the Day.
That's awesome.
If I can intervene
for a second. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I got to head out. Thank you so much for having me. I got some school stuff to do, but again, congratulations on the 50th episode.
Thank you so much, Dylan. Have a good one.
Of course. Thank have a great one. Hope to see you soon.
See ya. For sure.
No, I'm good, man.
Dude, thanks for joining. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right, we got someone else just joined here, an actual radio dude.
Oh, hey, that's probably me.
John Hernandez.
Hey.
John the Metal Mailman.
How's it going? I don't know if good. You can hear me well. I've never used this.
You're just fine. Yeah, John, nice to meet you, man.
Hey, nice to meet you too, man. Yeah, I forgot that I had work right now. I figured I would just do it at home, and then I realized, oh, wait, no, I have to. So, but anyway, here I am. I got it working, and yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, cool, thanks, man, for joining. So.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about this whole, I don't know if you guys already talked about it, but I just can't stop thinking about this whole David Ellison Megadeth stuff.
Right?
Yeah, what are your guys' thoughts on all that craziness?
Man, yeah, when I saw that, you know, it came through to my email, I was just like, my jaw hit the ground, man, Junior's out. It almost took me a little bit. And then I texted Jim right away. I'm like, can you believe this is happening, man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said I wasn't surprised. And based on what the statement that Mustaine released, it seems like maybe this was the final straw, or that there was something was building. And now Dave's like, okay, this is now this time to kick him out again.
Right. Yeah, I kind of read between the lines there too, when he was like, what did he say exactly? That the already strained relationship,
right?
Yeah, that was weird. And also just little words, like he didn't say he's no longer a part of Megadeth. He said he's no longer playing with Megadeth. Kind of makes it seem like he was more of a hired gun, which I kind of felt this last, I don't know, 10 years or however long he's been in this band after this last stint. But yeah, I don't know. And I remember seeing them live too. And they had like these credits at the end of the show on the big screen, and you know, it'll be like Dave Mustaine and then Kiko and then Dirk. And then the last name was David Ellison. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. He's being like the last build. You know what I mean? Right. So yeah, I kind of had my suspicions. I don't know if it's that whole lawsuit thing that happened so long ago, or if something else happened.
Yeah. Do we know how Mustaine feels about Ellison doing like his own stuff, like the solo stuff he just did and the cover stuff? Do we know? I mean, is Mustaine cool with that?
That's actually a good point. I remember when he did Metal Allegiance. I don't know if you guys heard that.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember reading this interview before they were doing Dystopia. So this would have to be probably 5 years ago when they were gearing up to do it. That Dave Mustaine was like, yeah, with him doing this other stuff, I didn't know if he was still going to be in the band. And Yeah. So, but that was years ago. I remember reading that. I'm like, that's weird. Like, he's been loyal. You know, I didn't get the feeling that he was... You know, it's just a side thing, but yeah, that probably did bother him. And then this latest solo record that came out, because Dave's always been about just Megadeth, you know, I've never seen him do really anything on the side.
Yeah. So, like you got to be 100% committed to Megadeth or it's nothing, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. That could be part of it. Cause who else in Megadeth is doing anything else? You know, everyone else is committed into it. So yeah, that's a good point. It could be that reason. And I did feel like Ellison was just in the band for the fans, you know, because he is the OG. And I, as a fan, man, his bass stuff that he does is part of the reason why Megadeth is so awesome to me. You know, those like the P Cells intro, and in that last record, he had a cool bass intro too. And it's just like this different sound. And so it is a bummer, but I feel like he was mostly in the band just for us. And then he did something. So Mustaine's like, yeah, you know. And the other thing is with what David Ellefson did, that's just not good for a brand. You know, it just doesn't make the band look good. So I can understand it in that sense too, of like, yeah, this doesn't look good for us, you know.
I think that's the long answer, but the short answer is I think it's pretty clear how Dave Mustaine views people playing with themselves.
Not yeah. allowed to play with anybody else or yourself. Yeah.
Did you guys did you guys see that video? Because I unfortunately did, and it kind of scarred me.
Nope, I did not.
Oh yeah, you're good. Please don't. I saw it on accident. And honestly, if he stayed in the band, I'm like, I don't know if I could look him in the eye after seeing that video. You know, I'm just so. But as a fan, again, it's really, it just sucks, man. Just the whole thing. Massive Megadeth fan. So
yeah.
Now Dave's the only original. I'm like, you know.
Again,
right. But I don't know. I was like, what if they bring Marty back? But I'm like, that's never going to happen. I don't know. But I wonder who they are going to bring back. Lomenzo again on bass?
I don't know. Jim and I were talking about it. I mean, they already got the Knotfest date with them, right? So who's going to play? I don't know.
Yeah, and they have that big tour that got rescheduled. So they are going to do something. I mean, obviously, this band has had so many lineup changes. And they've never missed a beat ever. They always find someone else. You know, a lot of times it's just the tech. Whoever was the tech, they'll just sub that person in, and that's the new member. So I guess we'll find out.
Well, I see Emiliano from Tornadic did not join us. I wonder if maybe Dave gave him a call.
Could be.
There you go. Wasn't he on that Megadeth cruise thing? Wasn't that band on there?
Dylan was.
Yep.
Like, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, it was only Dylan. It was Dylan and his dad, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, when they had those other two quit the band, Chris Broderick and Sean Drover, and that it ended up being a good thing because, you know, Kiko's kicks ass. So
that's like my new, like, guitar crush is Kiko.
Yeah, that dude's amazing. And Dirk fits in really well, too. Dirk Verbuijen is just awesome.
Yep.
I actually met him once at Ozfest meets Knotfest in California. Megadeth headlined one night. And then of course the next night it was Slipknot, or maybe they didn't headline, but they were up there, you know. And the next night I'm going to see Slipknot. I'm up in the pit and I see this dude. I'm like, is that the guy? And he was just chilling in the audience, just right in the pit. And I was like, hey, are you Dirk from Megadeth? He's like, yeah, dude, what's up? And he took a picture with us and stuff. I'm like, man, you like just the night before he's playing till like, I think it's like 60,000 people were there.
That's crazy.
Playing to all of them. Then the next day he's just in the audience, just hanging out, drinking a beer, you know? Yeah, well, just another day, another lineup change for Megadeth, I guess. No, that's all I've been thinking about. Again, it's kind of burned into my memory. I got a text from my dad too that day. He's like, I don't know if you saw that video, but I can't unsee it. I want to gouge my eyes out. I'm like, you saw it too. No. but anyway, yeah, I just wanted to speculate on that and talk about that.
Cool, man.
Yeah, I saw some memes about it, some still images with certain things covering other things, but I didn't pursue looking any further.
Yeah, that's a good, again, I didn't even do it on it was like a Twitter thread. And the first one was him just regularly talking to that girl, fully clothed, very innocent. I'm like, oh, this is not that bad. And then I click on it and the tweet right below it was completely different. And I was like, oh no. So yeah, don't go looking into it. Just take my word for it. It's pretty gross.
That's disgusting.
All right. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
Good, Jim. Thank you very much for having us. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, we can.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Well, it's so exciting just to see Tommy and all of you guys here on this web, on this Zoom call. And yeah, going back to Mustaine, you know, he's always been a character. He's always, I mean, it looks like his Megadeth is his gig and everybody's a hired gun. So regardless, and Heyman Jr., how he call him, it's always been, you know, in fights and stuff and legal suits, and it didn't change. I mean, Nick Mesa was the same. Mensa was the same thing. Kiko, Fred Martin, the guy plays the guitar, you know, and Rust in Peace, Martin Freeman, all of them are just been, you know, it's just Mustaine, I guess. I mean, but he's good. But one thing is, you know, the concerts are coming back. It's good to see all those things, you know, posting, you know, everybody's going back on concerts. And actually, if it would have not been for stupid COVID, we would have been seeing Propane at the Whiskey Go-Go in Los Angeles. I think it was April 20th or something. What's going to happen, man? Are you guys coming back, or what's up with your tour? I mean, we want to see the, you know, some hardcore here. It's awesome, man.
As far as word on the tour, I mean, the only thing that I have is just basically what kind of picked up from Gary's wife, Lisa. They really want to do something. This is the 30th year anniversary of the band being formed, and they were really wanting to do something. But 3 out of 4 of the members live overseas. So with all the COVID restrictions and everything, it has kind of put a hamper on their travel plans. So it's kind of everything's up in the air right now with the band to see, you know, what's going to happen and where they want to go.
All right. Well, right on. Hopefully you guys can make it out here to the West Coast. We'll definitely be there. I mean, we have tickets for all kinds of jams. We have Ginger. We have Testament is postponed. We have Rammstein with all the family. We have, what else? Pearl Jam. You know, my girl loves Pearl Jam and my wife as well. So we're going to see them. We also have Killswitch Engage. I mean, all kinds of stuff we have on the books from last year. So looking forward to go to more concerts. I saw August Burn Red is going to be on tour as well. And Era, Andres loves that band, kind of like a prog rock thing. I mean, a lot of treading, a lot of difficult stuff, and he loves that thing. And I was looking to buy tickets to see them. So it's all good news, man. I mean, I think we're turning the corner, and I think we're going to have a blast. So all we have to do is look at the positive. And you guys doing your 50th show, that's awesome. We love you guys. We love the support. Everything is great, man. So
thank you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the support. Thank you.
This is what we got to do.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. All right. Next up, we got Mr. John Krenz.
Oh, hey, hey.
I saved you for last for a reason.
Uh-oh.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, that's fine. I enjoy sitting here and listening to everybody talk about their bands, for one, awesome, and their stories, also awesome. And you, Jim and Chris, just listening into you every week and your banter and your format, it's awesome. It's just great.
Oh, thank you so much.
And also just kind of a shout out to Mental Health Month. Jim, I gotta say, I've always admired your transparency and willingness to talk about mental health, your mental health, to destigmatize it. You've always, as long as I've known you, you've always been that way. And that's awesome. That's what we need more of.
Yeah. Thank you.
So Metal Stories, they all revolve around Jim. So Jim and I used to work together and we'd go to shows regularly. I can't remember the first one we went to, but one of the earlier shows we went to was probably Trivium at Station 4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one, awesome show. I remember we were standing outside after the show and Corey was out standing by the bus, and you went up and talked to him and you wanted to get a picture of him. So you handed me the oldest flip phone that you had with the shittiest camera.
I only have one flip phone, by the way.
Yeah. So I took a very poor picture of Jim and Corey. Super grainy, low light, but
the sun was right between us.
So. Yeah. It was an awful picture, but it was a really cool memory. And you know, just how often you have access to people that you look up to like that. You know, just
that's awesome.
By the bus and you can walk up and chit chat with them. another Trivium show at the First Ave. I think this was the In Flames show, wasn't it, Jim?
Might have been.
Trivium, yeah. In Flames. We were having dinner next door and
7th Street Entry.
Yep.
Yep.
I think Paulo and Corey were, they came in and they were having dinner as well.
I think the whole band was there.
Oh, were they? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right behind us.
You have a much better memory than I do, but that was really cool. And
you already told me that.
they're just regular dudes just grabbing a bite before a show. So it was really cool to see them. And then the third one, so more recently, Ex Mortis.
Oh yeah.
Going to that show at New Amsterdam in St. Paul.
That was one of them. Yep.
Yep. And you were buddies with the guys. You had been communicating with them before. They were, something happened with them on the road and they were broken down, or no, they had a crash.
Yep. They crashed their bus a week before. And I think just across the Canadian border over in Washington. So they had a GoFundMe and raised enough money and they got back on the road and we were their first stop in Minneapolis back.
That's right. That's really cool. And you introduced me to them and there couldn't be more sweeter, more genuine, down-to-earth dudes. Just awesome. And it's kind of a testament to the whole metal community. I think that everybody's just in it together. We just want to see everybody succeed and do well. So it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
And they can play. We saw them at the Metal Alliance last year. Is one of our last shows, actually. And man, those guys can play good. Oh, yeah. They're really, really good. We were, awesome. We never saw them before. We saw them live and we were against the rail and those guys can tread and they can move the whole audience. I mean, it was fantastic. I love them ever since.
Yeah. Right?
Awesome.
And one of the coolest parts about that show is the apparent lack of security. I like those small venues where you can get close. You don't have to worry about people getting hurt. They're just nice and intimate. And it's great to have that level of access to bands. So Turnatic, I know you want to get huge and everything, but those small venues, those are, yep. Those make people feel special.
That's awesome. That was, that was the one thing that was interesting when Lamb of God joined the Mega Cruise, was that Randy was like the only one that had like security. Like he had a bodyguard walking with him everywhere and he really couldn't, he had his distance, right? Like you couldn't walk up and just talk to him like you could with anybody else on the cruise ship, right? So it's crazy when you get that big. You want to still be approachable.
Yeah, so I want to talk to John some more. Mr. Krenz, you said my memory is better than yours, so I was trying to think. The very first thing I ever said to you was, and I think I have it, and I think you mentioned we used to work together, and that was back in, when did you start, 2006?
Yeah, 2006.
Yeah, and I was walking by your desk one day, and I just heard some noise, and like something in my brain triggered it before I realized what it was. I'm like, hey, I backed up, and I looked down like, first thing I ever said to you, you listening to Lamb of God? You said, yep.
Awesome.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I think I walked away. But yeah, that started it for us. I mean, just that metal bond, the metal family. Yeah, going to shows with you has always been awesome. You're talking about a little bit about the stereotypical metalhead and how that reminded me of a story that my wife Mary likes to talk about with me and you, how we, you know, we're always dressed like metalheads. We go to all these shows. And then after the show, we get in the car. We're like, that was awesome. That was great. And then you look over at me like, I got some fruit snacks in the glove box. You want some? Like, yes, I do.
Well, going to shows all the time, you know, through later in high school and in college, you go to shows, you're out late. Everybody is always hungry and thirsty. You're dehydrated. What better than a fruit snack, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the best feeling, by the way, when you overhear a coworker listening to metal. You're like, oh, we can talk now. We can be friends. You're one of us.
Yep.
I had that exact same thing happen when I was delivering mail. It was like 7 a.m. I'm just getting out of my car to walk over. It is a crappy, snowy, cold day, and I hear one of my coworkers blasting, what was that song? The Duke by Lamb of God. I think that was their new song at the time. Look up in the night, see me right across the sky. And I was like, dude, you like Lamb of God? You know, he's the only other guy that I knew of there at that particular station. And I was like, yes, that just immediate bond is the best.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it happened just today. So I'm, I'm working my day job. And a lot of my day job is just Zoom calls like this, right? And after I got off of a meeting, this is a guy I've talked to a few times before, but we got off the call, and then he sent an email saying, hey, bro. And he sent me a photo of his office that he had all this metal on the wall. And he's like, I saw your Maiden and Pantera stuff behind you. He goes, I'm going to this show. And I'm like, dude, it brings people together, man.
Have you ever seen that video on YouTube of like how metalheads see each other in the grocery store?
Yeah, right.
And there's like some guy standing at the coolers, he's about to open it, he looks over and he sees a guy in an Iron Maiden shirt or something. He's like, and then it goes to like the prairie where they're running towards each other and about to give big hugs. And
yeah, there's no strangers when it comes to metal.
Yeah,
there is absolutely not. If you know somebody listens to it, yeah, you're friends right then.
Exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, embarrasses my kids so much, because I can be out, you know, and we're walking, you know, we're in Target or something, and you see somebody with a Lamb of God shirt and you toss them the horns, and my daughter will eye roll like, oh my God.
you want to hug them. You want to buy them a beer. You know what happened? It totally happens the opposite too. I actually started this, like a kind of a part-time job, you know, last week. And the girl from human resources, she asked me, what are your passions? And I said, well, I love going to shows, especially for heavy music show. Heavy music. I didn't want to say heavy metal because it's so, you know, whatever. I say heavy music. And today when I got my computer up and running, I see all those emails, you know, the welcoming and the welcome that she put on the general email for everybody's like, oh, Andres loves music. But she deleted the heavy music and all that stuff. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Don't censor me!
What? Sucks, man, because
that's uncool.
Like, you guys, all of you guys, if anyone in the company listens to heavy music, he will be the first one sending me an email, hey, what are you listening these days, you know?
Right.
She deleted it. I was like so pissed. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah, speaking of embarrassing your kids a little bit, that we were with another family we're friends with, and we were at this resort, and I'm wearing a Dust Bolt shirt, and I'm walking by and I see something, and I give my phone to my daughter. I'm like, hey, take a picture, because I know she's game for anything goofy that I do. So I run over and I slide and turn around and like, go, like throw the horns up. And then she sees it, starts giggling. And then everyone else is like, what are you doing? And then I was right next to a giant metal fan.
Just a couple of metal fans.
So she got it and everybody else rolled their eyes. He did it again.
I think that was a great combo of metal and dad humor, right?
Yep.
If you're not embarrassing your kids, you're not parenting, right? So
that's right.
You know, you gotta get that out there.
Ask Andres how many times I embarrass him.
He's rolling his eyes right now.
It's come to a point where it's like an everyday thing, and it's just like you have to deal with it, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
great.
You got any
stories about your dad you can tell us?
Ooh.
Maybe embarrass him a little?
Yeah, let's hear a story.
Oh, man. There's a lot, and now I have to like choose one.
Choose five.
Usually, I mean, like,
dude, you're embarrassing me in front of the Wizards.
Sometimes, like when he used to pick me up in middle school, he'd have like, you know, music blasting like the maximum possible like option or whatever. And then when I open the door, you know, just like, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a band, you know, like Lamb of God or anything, just like enters the scene like aggressively. But yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Just think, we are in Southern California. It's the sanitized Irvine community, supposedly one of the, you know, suburbs of LA. So everything is sanitized, everything is pristine, everything is pure. And all these kids come on their, you know, yoga pants, like Lululemon brands and everything about brands. And then he opens the door and boom.
And it's usually in the morning too. Like when he like drops me off to school, you know, 7 a.m, blasting anything, you know, but
it's like coffee for your ears.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love it. Love it. We did. Hey, Jim, we did hear some unfortunate news. The unfortunate passing of Riley Gale from Power Trip. What did we learn today?
Yeah, it came out today that the cause of death was it was an accidental overdose on fentanyl. Yeah, I read the article on Metal Sucks, I think, and they fact checked it and said it was true. And I don't know, it's very sad. It's not something you want to hear. Well, you don't want to hear anybody die, but sad. I think a lot of people are thinking it might have been something like that, but it was secret for so long. You're just wondering. I almost forgot about it, and then I saw it today. So.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that you hear Power Trip, my thought would always be like, I wonder whatever happened, you know, what was the story? You're always holding out hope that it's not going to be that. And then, of course, it's that. And it's such a, you know, it's sad, you know, you feel bad for everybody. I mean, losing somebody like that is not an easy way to do it. And there's so little closure that comes ever for his band and his family. And, you know, nobody gets those last moments or anything like that. It's super tragic and kind of just a big waste of potential, right? It's, he had such a great career ahead of him, and it's just gone now because of something stupid, right?
Don't do drugs.
The worst thing is it said that in that report, it said they only found marijuana in his system and fentanyl. So that makes me think, was the marijuana laced with fentanyl? Because if that's the case, that's even worse, dude.
Yeah, and it was a massive amount of fentanyl, like compared to what would be lethal. I mean, it was huge. So you could be right there, yeah. Didn't even know.
Isn't that what got Michael Jackson and Prince too?
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's more common to be laced with like cocaine and stuff. Like you hear about that more. I know Mac Miller, that the rapper, died from that. But yeah, again, it said only weed was in his system. So, I mean, that's why I'm like, I just want it to be legalized everywhere to avoid those kind of things from happening, because it's just such a waste.
Well, yeah, and that's the sad part, right? Like not having, I mean, I'm up in Canada, man. We got legal weed here, and it makes that stuff way, way safer, you know? So many people were against it for so long, but I can walk down to the corner store now, and there's my weed. I don't got to go to some greasy alley buying from some dude that I don't know and getting whatever he gives me, right? I can go pick whatever strain, however much of it I want, and that's it, right? So much safer, and avoids all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm still not over that. It's still weird that I'm like, man, is that band, you know, do you think they're going to get a new singer? That's the other thing, is the fact that it happened during this pandemic where there is no live shows or anything. So it's just kind of been,
it's kind of interesting, right? I mean, some bands, I mean, that was who made the band, right? But then you have other bands that vocalists switch up. I mean, Alice in Chains, you know, prime example, you know, Lane was awesome, right? But they get a new singer, which the name escapes me right now.
William Duvall, I think.
Yeah,
William Duvall, yeah.
But
yeah.
And they still are freaking amazing, right? I mean, totally. So you never know. I mean, they could keep going. I mean, I guess you kind of wonder too. I mean, was Power Trip, you know, was it Riley's brainchild? You know what I mean? Like, was he the driving force behind everything?
Yeah, because we haven't, you know. Pandemic's probably a big reason why we haven't heard anything from him since his death last summer, but you know, maybe we'll hear something now, or things starting back up, maybe they'll say they're starting a new project or replacement there.
Yeah, who knows. And I think that and actually, Jim, speaking of singers and bands, isn't there a little rift going on with the Bad Wolves guys, or what's going on there?
Yeah. I don't remember when it was, less 6 months ago, a year, whatever. Bad Wolves parted ways with Tommy Vext, and I think it was sexual assault allegations or something. So I don't know if it's just that or a culmination of things, but yeah, there's been a little activity in both camps recently. Dot Coyle posted on Facebook last night, the exact quote was, but something like, for people who feel they're being canceled, they sure are a fucking loudmouth, or something like that. And then everyone was, it was kind of a vague post, but people were speculating it was something to do with Tommy Vexed. And I saw he posted something today that congratulating Dan Laskowitz, I'm not sure how you say it, but I think he's a guitarist from Acacia Strain, is the new singer. But he congratulated them, but then said they need a new name and need to pay him for all of his songs before they can perform as Bad Wolves or something.
that just makes me so, like, I don't know, whenever you hear about the band that they have lawsuits over, like, the name or the rights to the music, like, it just seems, I mean, if you're a musician, I totally get where you're coming from, but for me, a band should be so much more than just the paycheck. I don't know. That's the way I think about it. I mean, when you hear like, you know, you have to be called Stephen Piercy's Rat or Jack Russell's Great White, you know, in order to be legal.
Yeah, I get to be Venom, but you have to be Venom Inc.
That's right.
Yeah. So anybody, what are you listening to? Anybody got some new bands we should check out?
I don't have a ton of new bands, but I got to thank you for the referral for Necromantheon. That is fantastic. I gave that, I've listened to that 2 or 3 times now. I was just listening again this afternoon, and that is fantastic. I will also throw a shout out for that Capra, their new record. Phenomenal. That is really, really good. Awesome. And if you haven't checked it out, go do it, because that thing's a beast.
Cool.
Capra?
Yeah, they've been spinning a track on Liquid Metal called The Locust Preacher. I know that's been the big song in there. I'm going to stick my neck out and say that's probably the fourth best song on that record. So really? Hey, I'm going in and out. Yeah, I was just saying they're going to be around for a while. They're going to do big things, I think. So yeah, go check that out if you haven't listened yet.
Anybody else got something that...
Well, do you guys have any recommendations, anything new that you want to hype up now?
You know, the new one, I don't know what it is, but it actually is really good. It's the one that, Jim, you made a meme of it called Baby Yoda, but it was...
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
Slaughter to Prevail. Yaga.
Yep. That song is amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're from.
It's the Russian guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my
God. Dude, that it blew me away. I thought it was really good.
The best part of that whole release is the video. If you haven't seen the video for that, go watch that, because that's the most Russian thing you will ever watch in your entire life.
It is.
Yeah. There's also a new band that is being featured on Liquid Metal that I just got a hang of it like a few weeks ago. It's Alluvial. And that song, 40 Stories, man, I don't know. That thing is fantastic. That thing is like I wasn't sure what it was. And then Bill, you answer my question. He's like a death rock kind of rock. And it's, man, I just can't get enough of that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Anybody check out the cameo from Brian Posehn to Chris and I?
I saw it.
That was great.
That was great. Thank you, John, for making that happen.
Yep, John Krenz is responsible for that. So huge thank you. That was awesome to see. He sent me a text right when I was getting ready in the morning, and it didn't show a video or a picture or anything. It was just a bunch of words. And I was like, I'll check that later. Yeah, and then totally forgot about it. And then later on that night, you text me again or something and like, oh, did the link work or something like that? And then I checked it. And so I pushed it. And then all of a sudden there's Brian Posehn. And then he says my name. I'm like, what?
You know, what the hell? And I, you know, I've been a fan for so long. And, so again, a good story for John too. So I remember I drove from Minneapolis down to Chicago to see Anthrax when they did kind of the reunion, like they did like Among the Living in its entirety, right? So it was like the first time that Joey was back, right? After he left, just for this quick reunion thing.
So
I was down in Chicago at the House of Blues, just crushed. It was so good, so fun. And I remember, you know, I'm in the pit the entire time. The band's done. Everyone's leaving. There's like a dozen of us just like tired, beat, just sweaty, ugly people, like just standing there on the floor. And I look over, it's Brian Posehn. Like, this guy is huge. And I was like, hey, you're that guy. And he goes, yeah, I'm that guy. Anyway, that was the first time I met him, and it was pretty great.
I think that's cool. That's kind of how he introduces himself. Like, I'm that guy. And it's the same in Scott Ian's book. What's it called? Like, Scott Ian, the man from that band or something, or that guy from that band.
I'm that guy in Anthrax. Yeah.
Hachette Audio presents I'm the Man, the story of that guy from Anthrax, written and read by me, Scott Ian.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's that guy, because he's on VH1 all the time doing those countdown shows. He's on reality TV shows. Like, oh, that's that guy. So,
have you guys seen the photo of me and Brian where Brian Posehn is like pretending to strangle me? Like, literally, it looks like I'm a doll. Like, the guy is so big, he puts his hand around my neck, and it looks like he's carrying me. I'll post that on the Facebook page.
Yeah, do it. I gotta see that picture.
It's probably like, stop looking at my belly button. Yeah, but Mailman, getting back to your question about what we're listening to or new stuff I've mentioned on the show before, Misfire, still doing that one a lot.
Misfire? I've never heard of that.
Yep, that was a good one.
Thrash from Chicago. They are parts of a few different bands, or a couple bands. Diamond Plate was one of them. Krenz, I think we saw Diamond Plate together not too long ago, and then they broke up, and then two of the members, I think, formed Misfire.
Oh, cool.
So, really good thrash. So that's Misfire, Necromantheon, and Evile, kind of my three front runners for
albums. I keep on forgetting about Evile. I've been listening to them a lot, and then and then those for more of like a trained voice. Listen to Artillery. I've been listening to Artillery a lot.
Agnoxia, still put that on a lot. We had Jose Barales on a couple months ago.
I like that KK's Priest song too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hellfire Thunderbolt. Like the most Judas Priest name ever, Hellfire Thunderbolt.
I know, and when I remember like the day that came out, I was like, I don't know what a Hellfire Thunderbolt is, but it's pretty cool.
Exactly, it's Judas Priest. That's
it is
all.
Judas Priest. Oh, I'm glad you brought it up because it's pretty badass. Yeah,
yeah, I'm stoked to hear the whole album. You know, the finished product.
I was gonna order his. I'm debating whether or not I pre-order Metal. The Fragrance for Men. He literally has his own like cologne.
KK does?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's called Metal.
Oh wow.
He has like a cologne for men and then like a perfume for women. And then it's I don't know if it smells like rusty nails and beer. I don't know.
Like Hellfire Thunderbolt.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe he figured that everyone else already cornered the liquor market. So he's like, what should I do? I'll do some some perfumes and colognes.
Right?
It's illegal in 7 countries. Watch out.
Right. Hopefully not. Yeah.
I mean, anybody can sell coffee and liquor, right? So why not sell perfume? Why not?
Right. Yeah, that's the other. A lot of people are selling coffee too. I know like Charlie Benanti has his own coffee.
Yep.
David Ellison, actually.
Yeah, right.
And then Lamb of God has their own coffee now, too.
Oh, I was meaning to order the Testament coffee, too.
See, I didn't even know Testament had one. That's how many bands are just releasing these copies.
Dark Roots of Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I did see them post about that, which is cool because that's honestly, I think that might be my favorite Testament album. Is that that Dark Roots album just still blows me away when I listen to it.
So good.
But yeah, they're solid all the way.
That thing's a banger.
Yeah, yeah. Their last two albums are really great too. Like they're just one of those bands, man, where you listen to their classic stuff and you're like, this is killer. And you listen to their new stuff and you're like, God, this is killer too.
I know. I mean, that's one of the bands too, where they really have, I mean, every album, like they still have just stuck to their roots. They really have, I mean, they have thrashers on every single one. I'm a huge fan. It's really good.
And killer live too.
Oh yeah.
Great live performances. There are some bands that you love listening to them and then you see them live and you're like, ah.
like Jim, Rob Zombie. I make fun of Rob Zombie. I know Jim's a Rob Zombie fan, so
I'm a huge Rob Zombie fan too.
So is my wife too. That's the jam.
So I'm the outlier here, but I will just say I think Rob Zombie is a studio musician because I've seen him live a couple times, and I gotta say, maybe it was an off day, I don't know, but
no, it wasn't.
You're right. I
won't disagree with that opinion.
Yeah, his show is awesome. He puts on a great show, but yeah, like his voice definitely is not like it is on the albums.
Yeah, he gets a little winded, I think, sometimes. But I don't know, if you listen to that live record, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's not note for note, you know, vocally the same as live, but it's live. You know, it's not supposed to be perfect. And I know that he doesn't do any warm-ups or anything. He just goes on and just does it,
right?
But I don't know, but part of the reason I love watching him live too is just seeing John 5 just shred, you know. I mean, I don't know, I think their whole band is just really tight, and they, when they play live, it sounds kind of heavier for some reason to me. But yeah, I get what you're meaning. His vocals aren't exactly the same live than in the studio, but still, it's just a great experience overall, especially if it's like October, you know, and it's kind of that season. I really wish I went to that mega cruise.
Yeah, this is the Testament show. It was just brutal. I'll post some of these up on the site.
What noise is he making right there in that picture of a horn? I think someone is in his way.
All right, well, hey guys, we're over an hour. This has been a freaking blast. I want to thank everyone for joining us for our 50th episode. Super cool. Thanks for everyone watching along on the YouTube stream. We want to thank everyone for their support. And remember, you can always get links to all of our socials at thrashreport.com. We have archives of all of our episodes there with show notes. We want to hear from you. Go ahead and reach out to us on our socials, as well as email us at thrashreport@gmail.com. And, here's to, like Brian Posehn said, here's to another 500 more episodes. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you next time on the Thrash Report.
Two right hands. Man.